talking about being on mission, and today's message, what we're talking about is it doesn't get any greener than this. And I don't know if you've been behind, and I hate to just pick on a lady here, but I'm going to pick on ladies for this one, okay? If this is not you, then that's fine. But it just seems like this is what I've experienced, okay? It may not be your experience, but it's my experience. And that is, you pull up behind the traffic light, and there is a lady in front of you. You know, she is leading the way once it turns the shade that we all love to see, and that is green. We don't like to see red. Yellow just means go faster, right? Okay, to get on through the intersection. And, you know, for some reason, if you kind of do like that when you pass through, you made it, you know, like you were safe or something. And so there's the lady. It's early in the morning. You're on your way to work. And what is she doing? Mm-hmm. Turns that mirror towards her, because that is the focus of her life. I'm just teasing, ladies. Well, it is for that moment. And so she turns it, and she's, you know, this is my favorite, you know, because we all know what that is, right? We know that motion. You know, she's got the eyelashes going on, man. She wants to look good when she gets there. Didn't really care between here and there, just once she gets there. And so she's doing all of that. And if you're like me, what usually happens is the light turns, and what is she doing? This thing right here. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you got to make sure it's all balanced out and everything else. You don't want one side done and the other side not complete. And the light turns to green, and yet she's still sitting there. And what do we at first think? Then we may even vocalize out loud as if she'll ever hear us because she is in her own world. We're yelling out, it doesn't get any greener than this. You know, this is it. This is the big moment. This is the moment we've waited here for. It's green. Let's go. And you know something, a lot of times while we may claim that we're waiting on God, I think that a lot of times God's really waiting on us. And yes, there is scripture that says, wait upon the Lord. There is no doubt about that. But you know something, a lot of times I think God's waiting on us, and that we refuse to be on mission with him. And sometimes it's not that we refuse, it's just that we don't know how to. And so I want us to look through this passage as well as a passage in Isaiah as to how God begins to say to us, be on mission with me. It doesn't get any greener than this. And I've heard people that will, you know, for hours pray that God would reveal his will for their lives. And I think so many times God's just saying, go, get moving. You don't do yourself any good just by sitting here. You've got to have movement to your life, because here's what I firmly believe. God moves you when you move. He can't move you if you're not in movement. I don't know if you've been around before, and this will certainly date me, but I've been around those cars where you don't have power steering, okay? I don't know if you've ever had a loss of power steering, but just sometime on a country road, not in downtown Cleveland, okay? On a country road, a dirt road, just go out there and just kill the engine and tell me how easy it is to steer. Okay, now don't go real fast, because if your engine doesn't fire up, you're really going to have problems, okay? But just tell me how that is. It's extremely difficult. And you know something? God has equipped us with this thing called movement. Time doesn't stand still. Movement. You move. And what we need to learn to understand is this. Mission is usually found with movement. It's not usually found with sitting, okay? That's not the requirement. The requirement is to be a person who moves. I was sharing with someone the other week when we were talking about church and things like that, and he and I were having this great dialogue back and forth, and I said, you know, there's a reason why faith is a verb. Because what does a verb do? It requires action. We all know this from first grade. Well, you should have known it from first grade, and you may go, oh, that's where I missed that. Verb, okay? It's action. And faith is a verb. Faith is not a noun, okay? It's not a thing. Faith is a verb, and God has called us as those who follow after him. When he said, follow me, what does that mean? It means stopping our tracks, right? No, follow means what? There's some sort of movement happening. This is how he approached the disciples. He didn't say, come and pray with me. You know, he didn't say, hey, let's come hang out together at this one location. He gave this simple invitation, and the invitation was basically two words in our language, follow me. It has movement to it. So what I would submit to you is this, that whenever you get through those difficult times, if you're trying to figure out what is God having me to do, get moving because he can help direct you, okay? Remember, God wants you to get where he wants you to get more than you want to get where God wants you to get, okay? Don't ever forget that because that is so crucial in the life of a believer. I want us to look at this this morning because I know that for a lot of young professionals, especially as we get out of college and that sort of thing, we have this immediate disdain for structure. You know, we're in college and we've got it all figured out, right? We can tell corporations and CEOs what they need to be doing. When I was in college and seminary, of course, training for the ministry, everybody that's training to be a minister or going into the ministry has it all figured out as to what the problem is with their local church, okay? Now, you can just go, just pick any Christian college, any Christian seminary, and just walk into that ministry class and say, who here thinks that they've got the answer for what the church needs to be doing? And if all the hands don't raise, I will be shocked. Okay, they've got it all figured out until their first year in a church. And then they realize, wow, these people are hard to work with. And I'm like, yeah, guess what? There's this variable called human will, okay? And they don't really like being told what to do. And so, therefore, they're going to try to buck you. That's not leadership. Leadership's not telling people what to do. Okay, it's imitate me. This is what the Apostle Paul would say, okay? Imitate me. That's what he would say. But God's word has a certain structure in mind, and we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verses 12 to 22. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell something? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. What I would say to each and every one of us is this. Some of us are a long ways, okay, down the road in our Christian journey. Some of us are just beginning, and some of us are just checking it out. A lot of times what happens is when you're new to something, you have a tendency to pull way back and say, you know, I'm not really important and I'm not really sure where I fit in. And it just seems like other people really know a whole lot more than me. So I'm just going to kind of pull back. And I want you to know that I believe that every scripture is true. And that last verse is especially important for you. And that is this. Whenever you think you're least important, God's probably going to make sure that it's found out you're the most important. See, a lot of times what we look at is, you know, we see Dylan and Steve and James and those up here who are incredibly musically talented and they do all these things. We think, wow, they've just got so much more to give to the church than what I do. And you know what the scripture says? You know, sometimes the people that we have kind of identified as, what's their real talent? I mean, what's their real gifting? Sometimes they're the most important. You know why? Because sometimes they have the most influence in the world than anybody else in the room. Because sometimes that person, while everybody else doesn't see them as a natural born leader, it's amazing the number of lives that they can impact because everybody likes them. Have you ever noticed that in order to be a really great leader, now I'm not talking about a CEO because a CEO can dictate some things. I'm talking about a great leader. When you strip away if you're paying somebody to follow you, right? Okay. Because that's what a CEO is doing. You know, I'm paying you to follow me. And if you don't like it, you can go elsewhere. I'll find somebody else. But I'm talking about in those situations where nobody's paying anybody, you can really find out who the true leaders are. Because people are wanting to be there. Why? Because they like it or they like the mission of what's happening. And what I've found out is this: sometimes the person that everybody else may look at is the person that you go, well, you know, they're not the best leader, and that, you know, they don't really have the talent. So where would we place them? What would they do? Sometimes they're the best, what I call a bringer, you know? They can influence anyone. You know why? Because everybody likes them. And that's what influence is really all about. Now, I'm not talking about they're paying people or they're manipulating people. I'm talking about they just have this likability factor that people genuinely like them. If they invite them to church, they can invite 200 people. And all 200 people are going to show up. Everybody say, well, how did they do that? Influence. And it's amazing to watch people that have that. And so sometimes when we look at the structure and we go, what's the big deal, you know, with that person? But then I think sometimes also, especially in our young careers, whenever we're in our 20s, and then as we get a little bit older, we realize, oh, we really do need structure in our lives. And, you know, this whole corporation thing and this whole, if I open up my own business, has got to have a structure or else this thing's going to fail. I may have a great idea, but if I don't have a great structure, things are going to fail. And this is what God knew. Things are going to fail. You know, God didn't make us in this blob, you know. We've got a certain number of bones, right? We've got a certain number of muscles, and we've got these connective tissues and all of these wonderful things, all the way down to proteins and everything else within our body that is working to make everything function. Things that we can't even see with the naked eye that God has put within us to have structure. And a lot of times we kind of look at structure with disdain, like, oh, you know, that's the evil thing, you know. That's the bad thing. If it's got a lot of structure, we just need a free form. Everybody can just kind of do whatever they want to do. And I would submit to you that that's not what God has said. And God has said, hey, you know, here's the human body, and this is how it relates. This is who we are. And if you notice, one of the things about the human body is this. The human body, in my estimation, was made with two great things. Now, there's more than this, certainly. But when you look at the human body was made with power and with speed, or if you want to call it efficiency, because sometimes we can use the word speed, but we may just be going nowhere fast, right? I mean, speed isn't always a good thing, but efficiency is the best thing. And when you look at the human body, the amount of power and what it can do and what it can accomplish, not just with the mind, but also the physical strength and all of the things that go along with it, it's made for power, but it's also made for efficiency. Now, here's the question that I would ask you. How does the church measure up with that comparison? Now, I'm not talking about Gateway in general, but I'm talking about the church universal. Whenever you think of the church, do you think of power and efficiency? Maybe power in a negative sense sometimes, right? Okay, we've seen that throughout history where those who gained control suddenly had this enormous power over people. And it went to the negative side. But I'm talking about power for good, not power for evil. Power to serve. Power to really make things change within a culture. Power to make things happen that better the entire culture, regardless of whether someone believes in Christ or not. Regardless of that. What about for efficiency? Do businesses model their plan after the way the church is structured? Well, no. I don't see too many people saying, you know what we need to do is we need to study that church down the road, because they know how to mobilize people. They know how to get things done. And the crazy thing is they're all volunteers. That's not what we hear. And that's not what we experience. If you're like me, we usually run from these things because we're like, wow, man, they're terribly inefficient down there. They have no power. They have no direction. We don't even know what they're doing. If we remove the church from our community, would we even notice? And that's what I've always asked people is this. If Gateway at some point in time was ever removed from the community, would the community have a fit because they knew that they needed us? And see, that's the true measure of a church to me. It's not the seating capacity, it's the sending capacity. There's churches filled in the United States. There's mega churches. You can turn on the TV every Sunday morning. You can see some mega churches. That doesn't mean that the community is going to miss them if they're gone. And I would submit to you that that's the question that we have to ask ourselves all the time, and it has to stay in front of us. Will the community miss us if we're gone? Will they say, hey, We're not quite sure we believe in all that stuff, but what do we got to do to make it happen for you all to stay? You may say, well, that's crazy. No, it's not. It's what God set up. It's what the early church was. As a matter of fact, it talked about that the Bible tells us that in the middle of all this religious pluralism, okay, which we certainly have now, but in the middle of all of that, here's this new movement being birthed called Christians, okay? And that was said as a derogatory term in that day and time. That was not a positive thing. Then that day and time, it talked about that they enjoyed the favor of the people. The people were like, we're not quite sure what they all believe in, but we really like them. We really like these people. These are good people. And you know something? A lot of times what's set up is, in our churches, it's us against them, right? You've heard it. You've been underneath it. Maybe even at times you've felt it, and you've been guilty of it. You know, it's us against the world. Was that Jesus's mission? I don't think so. I think it was a far cry from that. Because for some reason, he kept hanging out with all the people that really liked him and wanted to hang around with him. And then all the religious people were the people who were what I call the big meanies. You know, they rained on everybody's parade. Everybody was bad, you know, and they ran life for control. And that's who they were. One of the things we did last week, and so I'm going to show a few pictures here, and drove by it this morning to see how things were coming along. Over here on West 9th, we planted a bunch of flowers. We put flowers where two trees that we planted last year. So just north of Constantino's, if you can see, the pinnacle is in the background here. So if that kind of helps you get your bearings, Water Street Grill is just to the right. Right there in the picture. So if you go by those planters, all of those flowers we did on towards the corner of West 9th and St. Clair, you'll see flowers there right next to this place called Anatomy, if you know where that is, right across from Bridgeview Apartments. You'll see them there. This is just north of the Bingham. So if you know where Constantino's Market is in the Bingham downtown, the trees we planted last year are cherry trees, and man, they are loaded with cherries, which is really cool. And then all the flowers that you see down below here, all of those things we did. And you know, before we chose to do that, I would say this, nobody was doing anything. As a matter of fact, across from us, there's some terrible looking shrubs that I know that at some point in time we got to do some with because they're of the dead variety, okay? They're not alive at all. And it looks absolutely horrendous. And what I would say and submit to you is this. This is one of the things that I love is the fact that we weren't a laggard in this regard. We were actually out front, all right? And for a church to be out front in this cultural day and time is like headline news, you know? The problem with most churches that I walk into is they're about 20 years behind where culture is. Have you ever noticed that? And I'm not talking about the bad part of culture. I'm talking about any part of culture, okay? I'm talking about it's like, you know, welcome back to the 1980s. You know, we love the 80s, you know, and that's okay for that group of people. But then the question that I would ask is this, who's doing something for the millennials, you know? Who's doing something for what's going to be after the millennials, you know? Who's going to do something for after that group? Because here's the deal. If we always just reach that certain segment of people, that 20 years from now, we become dated. We always have to be reaching back. That's why you will always see Gateway bringing in young emerging leaders. Why? Because it makes us think young, and it also helps us to draw that younger audience in. We will always do that, or else what happens? We get dated very, very quickly. Except for me. I never am that way. I'm just kidding. I have to watch myself all the time. Recognize Radine here. He's actually working. That's always a big picture. I'm just teasing Radine. Radine's like, what? Dylan, I'm not sure if he's praying here on West 9th or waiting for somebody to come do something for him. That guy needs a lot of structure in his life. Steve basically posed for this. He's never seen a shovel in his life. And no, actually, he was really digging hard there. I caught him in the middle. There's John and Colleen doing the flowers there for Water Street. Okay. Uh-oh. No, I did not do that. Hit play? I just hit play. Now I've done it. What did I do wrong, Steve? Steve has to fix my inadequacies with technology. That's why I have you here, man. You are a part of the body. You're a part of the body. Am I good now? Can I hit play now? No, keep talking. Okay. The question that I have for you this morning that I want to pose to you, and we'll have it up here on the screen here in just a second. The GPS for the morning is actually in the form of a question, and it's this. Are you at the epicenter of your greatest potential for impact? Are we at the epicenter of our greatest potential for impact as a church? That's something that I have to keep in mind all the time is, you know, hey, are we at the epicenter where we can create the most impact? Or are we just relegating ourselves to, you know, just the people that come here, the people that we're going to deal with? And you know something? That would terribly limit us. Terribly limit us. It's both and. It's the people here and the people not here yet. Or the people that are not quite sure that they would ever really be a part of church, but they really like what we're doing. Because I will tell you this, and those are the people that helped us plant the flowers on West Nights know this. How many people came by you and were like, wow, this looks great. Man, we love this. This is really nice. Guess what? You made a huge impact. And there were several people walked by. One of them was the judge for the area. I've met her once, and she came walking by, and she goes, oh, it's Pastor Alex. Oh, I love these. You know something? You made a major impact. Now, did we set that up so the judge walked by at the certain time so that we could kind of have that? No. It was just one of those God things, you know? The person that owns or manages Anatomy came out and was like, man, this is great. Do you all want some bottled water or anything? Can I do anything for you? All it was planting flowers. I mean, really, when you strip it all away, it was planting flowers. But guess what? Nobody else is doing it. And I would say to you and submit to you, these are the types of things that we need to continue to do to serve downtown, to serve the inner city as we move along. And one of the things we're going to do in June, and I'll give you the dates of that next week, in June, we're going to be serving the inner city kids once again with another carnival, just like we did several of them last year. We've already got it set up to do this year. And now then we're teaming, you remember the inner city church that we helped to plant and helped to get going? We're actually going to connect those people to that inner city church, okay? It's going to be a great time. So we're going to serve all the kids free cotton candy and let them bounce on the bounce house and all those other things. And we're going to help connect them to that local church, okay? It's going to be a great time for all of us. Let's move on. Is a church seen as a pace setter or as a laggard? And I think we know, if we're really honest, that a lot of times we're just way behind. And it's amazing to me that God has given us all of these resources, and he said, hey, I'm going to leave you with my spirit, and yet we're always the one who's lagging behind. I want you to, just the next few moments, if you can, turn to page 618 in your Bibles. It's Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Page 618. Here's what God says. But forget all of that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? And you know, a lot of times what we kind of do, and as we certainly celebrate Memorial Day together, and in that celebration we do reflection, which I will quite honestly tell you, if you want me to cry, okay, two things that make me cry. Number one is have something patriotic come on television, okay? Now, it's got to be good. It can't be cheesy, but I'm talking about something good with stirring music and, you know, people are embracing the flag and stuff like that. And, man, I'm going to start crying because I feel the impact of those who have given their lives. And sometimes, most importantly, those who had a spouse, or who had a mom, or who had a dad, or who had a grandmother or grandfather give their lives, and they're the ones that's behind, or a child who knows that daddy's not coming home, or mommy's not coming home, and man, that will get me to cry, okay? Just about all my favorite movies come in that line of thinking and that whole vein. But the second thing that will make me cry every time is if my mom cries. You know, I mean, that one will always do it for me. I don't know about for you, but man, I don't want to see my mom crying. You know, there's just something not right about that, you know. I have to turn the other way or else, man, that really, 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 really bothers me. And as we look back on Memorial Day and as we remember those things, the one thing I will tell you is this, that as we as a church grow and as we as a movement move forward in Christianity, what God's called us to do is to understand this. We remember the past, but we don't hang on to it. And a lot of times what churches do is, what do? They live in the past and they hang on to it. And what I've got up here is this. It's the difference between creating a monument and a movement. Jesus created a movement, not a monument. I don't know if you've ever realized that or not, but he didn't create a religion. He created a movement. There's a huge difference. And a lot of times what our churches do is we're into doing monuments, you know? There's nothing wrong with a monument, but we need to leave the past behind and reach forward to the future. And God even says in his word, hey, I'm going to do a new thing. Can you not even see it? And I would ask you this question. What is it that God is calling Gateway to in downtown Cleveland? More than just, hey, we meet in a comic club. Isn't that kind of cool? And we got on the news and all those wonderful things. But what is it that God's calling us to be on mission about? Are we at the epicenter of our greatest impact? And here's the quote, remember the past, but don't remain in it. God's called us to remember the past, okay? But let's not remain in it. I want to close with this and an illustration. Are you, you know, we talked about are we as a church, but are you at the epicenter of your greatest potential for impact? In your work, in your family, have you strategically placed yourself for the greatest impact? Because that's what God wants for you. And that's where you're going to get the most meaning and purpose out of life. I don't know about you, but when I go to amusement parks and things like that, I love to go find the roller coasters. Anybody roller coaster fans out here? Okay, good. Roller coaster fans, yes. All right, we got a great one at Cedar Point, right? I mean, if you want to go to a roller coaster, that's the place probably in America, and if not the world, you're going to find one there that fits whatever style that you like. Some people like the loop-de-loops, and some people like, you know, how high it goes or that sort of thing. I'm built for speed, man. I mean, you know, I don't get anything out of going upside down. I don't even remember it happening. I don't know if you're like me. It's like, did I go upside down? Did it happen? Because it didn't feel like it went upside down. That loop-de-loop stuff does nothing for me. I'm not good with heights. So when they do that, my hands, just thinking about, I don't know if you can see it from here, then glaring, okay. My hands are already getting sweaty just thinking about. But put me on the one that does like 0 to 70 in like 3.2 seconds. I'm all about that. Because I have the need for speed, man. I just do. I don't know what the deal is, but I'm built for that. And when I think back, and you will know this sound, those of you who've been on this, this is the sound, man. Do you know it? If you've been on it, you know what's about to happen. And you know that sound. And it's like if you stood in that line long enough, you know how many of them that there are before boom happens. And as you're standing there watching the other group, what happens? It goes, ah! It's that quick, right? Because you don't hear them screaming the whole time, right? Because they're gone, man. It's over. But that anticipation of, and you hear the girls go, ah! You know, and all the guys that are not manly enough, ow, you know, they're doing their own noise, you know. No hands, whoops, you know, they weren't ready for it or whatever. And you know, a lot of times, it's like the body of Christ has a serious case of rigor mortis. And it's like the world is waiting. And we're still sitting there. And there's no, I don't know of many people that are a part of a church because it's the thrilling thing to do, you know? Hey, that's the ride of my life. I go to church. It's like 0 to 60 in 3.2. You got to come with me. What do you do at church? Oh, we sing some songs and dude gets up and talks. And if it's really good, I take my morning nap during that time, right? And if it's really bad, man, it's like 5 cups of coffee and then we're finally done and And you know something? God has designed the church for movement, for a body, for power and speed and efficiency. And I long for the day that we are known as the place that, man, if you go over there, it's like, they're going to send you out, dude, or dudette. And I kind of long for the day that somebody's in here and they're like, man, you're just moving way too fast for me. Really? Because that's what we want to be. Not just for the fun side of it, but if God says he's doing a new thing, it ought to be thrilling and exciting. He's created our body for movement and for speed and for power. And he said, hey, the church is to be like the body. And I don't know about you, but when I watch the Olympics, I don't watch to see the slow guy. I don't go, I bet you this dude runs it in 13 seconds. No, we want the dude to run 9.83 to get the world record legitimately, right? Not 6 months later to find out, well, he's not really a person. He's kind of like Mr. Drug, you know. We want the real thing. We want to see that in action. And you know something? That's what the world longs to see, is to see the body of Christ come up, and you can almost hear the... There they go. Goes that gateway group again. And then they're coming back in and they're having the time of their lives. Everybody better get on. And we've got to really ask ourselves this question. Are you at the epicenter of your greatest potential for impact? Is that where you are today? Is that where I am? Is that where our church is? Are we poised for when people walk by, they go, now that's a place that's not only doing something, they're being something. And I don't understand what all is going on there, but I like them. And they're really in movement. They're not just meeting on Sunday mornings. They're really having an impact. And that is the body of Christ. That's what God is all about with being on mission. And so I ask you this question to you personally, and really more of a statement. It doesn't get any greener than this. It's just like we've all kind of lined up and went, well, now let's not go too fast. And we'd hate to lose anybody back there. No, man, let's strap in and let's tell people, I wouldn't take your hands off. You can if you want, but we're going to take off. That's what God has for each and every one of us personally and as a body of Christ as well. I want everyone just to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. And I don't know where you came from this morning, but I know that a lot of times, you know, days just kind of go by and it just seems like, man, I'm having no impact. Why am I not having impact? And maybe sometimes God is whispering in our ears, hey, it doesn't get any greener than this. And so, Father, forgive us. Forgive me as a pastor when I put the brakes on rather than having those moments where it's just kind of this 0 to 60 or 70 in 3 point whatever seconds. And Father, we want to be the church that has not only an impact here in the city, but has an impact worldwide. Not so that we can say, oh, look, we're Gateway, but so that we can say, well, we're a part of the body of Christ. This is what Christ would have us to do. And Father, I pray that as people walk by and as they see us in action, that they would say, wow, now there's people on mission. They're doing something. They're all the time serving. They're all the time involved in the community. I can't hardly keep up with all the things that they're doing. And Father, that we would not be a laggard, that we wouldn't be saying, you know, 5 years from now that people say, well, if you want to see what church is like 10 years ago, that's the church to go to. But they would look at us and say, if you want to be a part of the church, it's the church of now and the church of the future. Be there. Go with them. And so, God, we just ask you to bless us as a church with being on mission with you, that we wouldn't be like in Isaiah, that we totally miss all the new things that you're doing and that you ask us this question, don't you even see it? Father, that we would see you in action every day in our jobs, in our lives, in our families, where we live, and that, God, that we would be seen as the church that's having a tremendous impact because of how you've created us, how you've structured us to be. So Lord, we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. My challenge for each and every one of you is to learn to be on mission with God. And as we go through these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about momentum. We're going to be talking about the C word, which is change within a church, and that's never any fun for anybody. But we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks, and so I hope that you're going to be a part with us.